Chair, apologies from Councillor Bennett, Councillor Constable, Councillor De Vink and Councillor Emery.
Thank you. And the order of business
is as printed in the agenda.
Any declaration of interest? That takes on to the minutes of the previous meeting. Are there any comments? Matters arising? Okay, we'll move on. Item 5.1.
It's just a decision notice from last time, Chair, just for your information.
Item 5.2.
Thank you, Chair. This report relates to a review submitted regarding an application for the alteration of an existing conservatory roof at 5 Forney Hall, Dalkeith. The proposal comprises replacing the glazed roof with a tile substitute. You must probably recall from the site visit yesterday, they'd started to do those works. A plan application for the proposed development was refused on the 30th of September 2016. A copy of the decision notice, along with the officer's report, is contained in today's papers, along with the applicant's review statement. The local review did indeed carry out a site visit yesterday, and the review is to proceed by way of written submissions. Following the decision of the local review body, a decision notice will be issued through the Chair and made available on the electronic case file.
Does anybody make a comment?
Yeah, Chair. When I visited the site yesterday and actually seen for myself the array of different conservatories along that route, and looked at the sample that was there, and I've got to say, just having a sort of one sample there didn't do really much for it. Maybe give you a feel for what was there, but it would probably be better if I had two or three layers to be there. And even in the photograph in Appendix E, when you look at it, it's quite hard to say. But I've got to say, overall, it seemed or does seem to be in and around the same colours. I didn't know that unless you were coming up there and having a close inspection whether you would actually notice the difference. And I've got to say, perhaps a lot of these things is, when you look at something like this, I think each individual person standing there could take a different view as to whether it would look unsympathetic with the existing building or no. Certainly, from my looking at it, I didn't see it as being unsympathetic at all. I think the letter of the law has sort of been applied here, and however, and seen that, and seen the array of different roofs along conservatories and different kinds of conservatories, some of which I would say I didn't particularly like, but as I say, I think that's an individual view when you look at something like that. I would be minded to allow this appeal.
Lisa.
Thanks, Chair. I must say I share Councillor Milligan's view entirely. It's hard to see what could be done better there, given the circumstances and the situation we saw. I think the applicant's or the appellant's intention is laudable. Clearly, it's going to contribute towards our overall council policy of reducing emissions because it's going to conserve heat with a different roof. And frankly, as Derek says, it was quite different all along the run. So it's hard to take issue with that particular one, the sample we saw, although I would say I concur with Derek's view that it would have been helpful if there had been more than one strip, because what you see in one strip compared with the impact of the cumulative effect of several pieces. But it's not an enormous conservatory. I really don't have a problem with it, and I'm happy to second the proposal to grant the appeal.
Ian?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'll go along with that. For me, the most obvious viewpoint to see it from was across the main road, where it was quite clearly You could see the white conservatories were standing out, whereas that one, I think, would not stand out, particularly in the location he was at. So I'm quite happy to go along with both other councillors.
Derek?
Just a quick point. I mean, I think if you're looking at it, you're looking at the pantile roof, and then you see the grey slate roof, which I think looks different. You know, that's completely different, and yet we're talking here about something that is a similar sort of colour. OK, it's not the pantile, but it's a similar colour and probably isn't as noticeable and will not stand out as much as the grey slate, I think. So, yeah, I quite agree with Derek and Lisa.
Right, so we're okay. We agreed to do that, which moves us on to 5.37 Cochrane Place, Rosewell.
Thank you, Chair. This report relates to a review submitted regarding an application for the erection of an extension at 7 Cochrane Place, Rosewell. The proposal comprises the erection of a rear extension measuring 3.2 metres wide by 2.7 metres deep and alterations to the existing extension to the rear. A plan application for the proposed development was refused on the 30th of September 2016. Again, a copy of the decision notice, the officer's report and the applicant's statement are in today's papers. The local review body did indeed carry out a site visit yesterday, and the review is to proceed by way of written submissions. Following the decision, the local review body, a decision notice will be issued through the chair and made available on the electronic case file.
I just would like to read out paragraph 5.1. It is considered that no conditions would be required if the LRB is minded to grant planning permission. The reason for refusing the application relates to its potential impact on the neighbouring property, and it is considered this cannot be mitigated by conditions if the LRB are minded to support the review on the basis that the proposed development is acceptable.
Is there any objections from the next door neighbour, you're talking about the encroachment?
No, there's not, Chair. There's no objection to the application. It's always, and to be honest, I don't know what their view is. They haven't declared their view. I don't know what their relationship with the neighbour is, so I've just got no information for that. I mean, just in general terms, they may not have any concern, or they may be just hoping the planning authority reaches a decision one way or the other, and they're just in trust. Yeah, they're notified, yeah.
Lisa?
Thanks, Chair. I raised the same question that Adam's just raised yesterday when we were on the site visit, because I was quite curious. I would have thought it was quite likely that the neighbour may well have lodged an objection because of the impingement on their light, especially when it seems that that's their kitchen sink area, which will put that area in substantial darkness. But having said that, since there is no objection from the neighbour, I'm minded to propose to grant the appeal. There's some quite significant alterations to some of the nearby buildings. And given that seems to have been careful thought given to maintaining the main roof line, which would have been a concern had they been proposing to alter the main roof line as opposed to the roof of the extension, I don't have a problem with this, and I would have thought that regardless of any relationships, it's significant enough that if the neighbours were concerned, they would have objected. It's not as though it's the bad old days when we had to depend on the applicant maybe putting out the notice of intention to apply for planning consent. It's done by our own authority now, so it can't be that they're unaware of it. I see no problem with granting it.
Thanks. No, I mean, I feel that if Nextdoor hadn't put in that extension with the window there, then if the only reason why is because it is blocking the light of that, then the extension would have been allowed. And also, Nextdoor's, we've given them, and it's only by dint of the fact that I can see that they've come along after they've done it, and that's why it's been knocked back. If the window had been part of the original next door building and wasn't an extension, then yeah, there might have been more of a case to refuse. But I just feel in this instance that I would be saying we should allow it.
So is anybody else otherwise minded? Okay. Which takes us on to item 5.4, land at Howgate Restaurant.
Thank you, Chair. This report relates to a review submitted regarding an application in principle for the erection of three dwelling houses on land at Howgate Restaurant, Pennycook. The plan application for the proposed development was refused on the 12th of August 2016. A copy of the decision notice along with the officer's report and the applicant's statement are in your papers. The local review body did carry out a site visit yesterday on the 28th of November, and the review is to proceed by way of written submissions. Following the decision of the local review body, a decision notice will be issued through the chair and made available on the electronic case file.
Adam.
Hi, thanks, Chair. We were on the site visit yesterday, and just a wee bit of background, the owners of the restaurant got in touch with me about a year ago, not about this application, there's not any conflict here regarding their rates, because their rates are quite substantial, and they're trying to get treated as a rural business, and they're looking for a reduction on the basis that they have had a loss of income, due a lot, mainly in part to the drink driving laws that have been brought in, which they do support, and I think we all do as well. But the days of having driving out for lunch and a glass of wine or a beer have gone, because nobody will even have anything now. So they have had a substantial reduction. And they did apply for rates reduction as a rural business. And I put them in touch with people in here, the finance people, and they gave them some advice. And there was a letter went away, as far as I'm aware, to the assessor, and it came back that they weren't the class as a rural business. Well, if that's not a rural business, I don't know what is. I mean, I couldn't understand it, but anyway, there's regulations and you have to comply with them. But my understanding of this as well is that there has been an application for holiday accommodation, which would be the same footprint as what they're applying for now, and that was approved. The work didn't go ahead because they actually do want to actually build three properties that they can rent out to help to cross-subsidise a business. I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. And as I say, when you look at the background for what was there before, in terms of the granting in principle, you know, three properties which will be the same size or the same footprint as what they're applying for now, I mean, I really don't see what the difference would be other than the technicality. You don't see it for the road that goes through Howgate because it's actually lower than that. In fact, you really don't see it for anywhere. And also, my understanding is there's no neighbour objections or the community council. Derek was saying yesterday, because that was the one that you were checking that out as well. And that being the case, I wouldn't have a problem with this going ahead, and I'd be happy to move it.
I'm afraid I have a very different view to this particular application for appeal. I wouldn't be overly concerned if these buildings were for, as the current application that's been previously approved, for tourism accommodation. But providing accommodation for temporary residents who are tourists is one thing, and providing accommodation of a permanent nature for domestic residential purposes with such little amenity ground gives me quite considerable concern. I think it's a rather large burden for the site. And when we have looked so closely at building in the countryside, development in the countryside, I'm not against in principle, but I do think we need to be mindful of what exactly it is we're giving the nod to when we consider that while every case is heard on its own merit, this would potentially give grounds for precedent to other such applications or appeals. And for that reason, I'm proposing that we refuse the appeal on the basis that the lack of amenity ground around it, which is not in keeping with our policy.
Thanks. No, I mean, I know. I've got to say, some of what Councillor Beattie has said might, you know, I could sort of agree with, but I've got to weigh it all up here, and this is a business that I think is struggling a bit, and also I'm aware of the fact, and I know people who actually work there, and it does employ people locally. So we've got the balance here, and if we were to lose that business from the area, which I think is a possibility, to be honest, I'd be sort of concerned. So I think we've got to take that into consideration of it. And also, as Councillor Montgomery has said, and I have looked, and I know that the Community Council there, they are quite, and as our planning colleagues will know, they quite strictly monitor any planning things that are coming up for that area, and I haven't picked anything up there. I was at the Community Council just last week, and they usually do look at the planning, and nothing was ever raised about that. So I would be inclined to support the application.
Ian.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a bit disturbed by the consideration we're being asked to take concerning jobs and concerning the finances of the applicant. Now, these are not planning considerations. Yes, we must be concerned about jobs, but that's not a planning consideration. In the paper that the office has presented here, it also says the applicant has failed to submit an acceptable justification to support the application for three dwelling houses. The applicant's case is founded on the principle that the restaurant requires some repairs, and the provision of the three houses will help facilitate that work. If we allow this to go through on the basis that the applicant's not too well off and needs the money, then we're entering a very dangerous precedent which could open the floodgates to many other applications who appoint to the applicant who appoint to this and say, why did you let that one through then? So I have to agree with Councillor Beattie on this. We also, what comes to mind is something we were talking about this morning at PRS. We were talking about our planning consideration, taking into account the impact on climate change. Now, I have no issue with encouraging tourists to come, and I would think that having three buildings which are tourist accommodation would supply business to the restaurant, whereas dwelling houses will not. They will provide cars which will travel up and down the road, because there's about one bus a day, I believe, that passes that along that road. So, no, I really have some very deep concerns about the consideration we're taking with regards to issues which are not planning issues, and I would like to second Councillor Beattie's proposal.
Adam, did you want to say something else?
No.
Okay, Derek.
Chairman, I'm neither here nor there whether or not the business puts forward a real business case here. I think I'm more concerned in the planning aspect as well. But the reality here is that it is within the council's procedures to allow development where it's clearly seen to be supporting businesses, as is up at, for example, at St Joseph's at the golf course there, where we allowed something like 50 houses to, as long as the money was clearly seen to be going to the refurbishment of a listed building and to the business there. I've got mere concerns about places like the Elgin Hawk popping up in the middle of the countryside and taking business away from small franchises like this than what I have on this. But the reality here is, unless I'm reading this wrong, this currently has planning consent for three dwelling houses, albeit for tourist accommodation. Now, I have a look at this, and I think, and I take the point Ian makes about that there's no buses there. What tourists likely to go there to stay if you can't get a bus? Because any tourists come in, yeah, fine, they might want to go out and do some hill walking, some countryside walking, do some other stuff and that. But I would also presume they would want to go to Edinburgh and have a few drinks and stuff like that. So I'm not actually sure if I was a tourist coming to Scotland, this is a location that I would look to take myself on. I think taken this on its planning terms, and there's been some lengthy discussions, and Peter, you can correct me if I'm wrong in any statements I'm making here, there has been lengthy discussions in several of the local plans about encouraging small developments within the rural settings, within the rural villages, and indeed I think there were some areas we specifically put into the local plan to allow small developments to take place in some of the small rural areas, and I can't mind the percentage, but I think it was to allow it to extend by up to 20%, say 4 houses, 6 houses, 10 houses, and some areas. You see the cluster of houses that are in about here, and I look at this on planning terms and solely on planning terms, and I think, well, you've got a dot of houses about there. I'm sort of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So the 12 houses. Would adding 3 houses to this area, would it really detract for the area? I don't think so. The fact that if you're putting tourists there, would they use the restaurant? I would think that anybody who was staying there that were having guests up or something like that, there's as much a chance they'll use that as their local and that as well. So in the balance, and I've got to say this in the balance, taking away the commercial side of this, I didn't really have a problem with sort of granting this, because we're quite simply taking away the need for it to be a tourist area. We'll see these buildings built somewhere or another, and to be quite frank, I think even somebody coming along and building it tomorrow as a tourist area, if it doesn't work, they'll simply come back in looking for that condition. And by the way, I'm going to say this, nearly every single time they've came back in and asking for the conditions to be removed, we've removed them, because you're quite clearly seen a business case where folk are saying, well, we've got them, that's what they're tied down to. They're either tied down to businesses or they're tied down to tourism. And 2, 3, 4, and 5 years down the line, they're back in here saying it ain't working, and nearly every time. So I think it would be disingenuous to turn around and say, well, that you can have it for tourists and nothing else, because, to be honest, we'd be faced with 2 or 3 years with somebody coming in. And if the guy was being dishonest, he could have quite simply built them and then came back in and says, it ain't working, here's my business plan. And because there was a condition attached that was then seen as unreasonable, any appeal would have kicked out. So I'm going to be quite happy to support the grant of this application, subject to the conditions. However, I do have one question on the specific conditions put on. And sorry, and I can't find it. In here, I'm sure I read, Peter, that we're asking for a contribution towards the Ring and Go service. I'm not sure, are we allowed to do that? I've never seen such a request before. Could you maybe give some details on that?
Yeah, Chair, if the review body are minded to support the application, there's a number of without prejudice conditions in the report. There's also reference to developer contribution, and you're right, there's reference to something called Ring and Go. We have pulled this in off some other developments in rural areas where you can't subsidise a bus service, for example. You can subsidise a local sort of taxi service called Ring and Go to help more vulnerable people in the rural communities. So there is a pot, Chair, that people make contributions towards into that service. And that service, there is a service around Harrogate and Ledburn area. But Chair, just to advise, if you are minded to support a scheme, it's a decision you can make whether you want to contribute to that or not. So that's just in there without prejudice. But there is a scheme sitting there.
Okay, I make it 3 to agree and 2 against. And if you would all look at paragraph 5.2, which is what we're talking about on the Ring and Go scheme, whether we take that out altogether.
Just to clarify as well, is if you build a scheme of dwelling houses, small-scale developments, the first 2 dwelling houses are exempt. You can build 2 without the requirement of developer contribution. Once you go above the 2, then there's a policy saying you make a contribution to the 3rd one. So that's why it's in there. But you make a judgment yourself whether you think that's necessary or not. You can make that decision.
I had a hand up first. Yeah, I'll get you next, Adam.
Not having heard the way you're going to vote, Chairman, on this, I'm assuming that at the moment it's a majority to grant the appeal. And if that's the case, I'm very opposed to this going through without a contribution towards the Ring and Go scheme at a time when the public purse is very stretched. We're talking about supporting a business here. when actually there's a lot of people in our communities who need rather more support. And if we're going to add three properties without contribution to Ring and Go, who will need to use Ring and Go, presumably based on the fact that there isn't a bus service or we're adding to our carbon footprint, it seems quite important that we do ask for developer contributions in this case.
Adam?
It's more out of interest, what sort of contribution are we talking about? Do we know what the figure would be, or is it so much a house? Is that how it normally works? I really don't know.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't know the exact figure. I know it's in the hundreds rather than the thousands. It's not like that. And it would be just for the one house. I even think you might be able to, dare I say, you might even be able to use it if you were to go, dare I say, to the restaurant and back from part of the local rural community. It's just to help those rural communities sort of progress.
Derek?
Yeah, the Ring and Go primarily is to get people from Howgate to the nearest bus route, and that's how it would normally be used. I know of people in Howgate who actually use the service, and it's probably more likely to be people who reside in the village. It won't be tourists that use it, I would think. If you're a tourist, you're probably going to drive into the park and ride, to be honest, to get into Edinburgh, if that's what they want to do. So there's more chance of local people using the parking, the pay and go, get down to Pennycook, and then they've got a choice of upteen buses to get into town. That might be the way that it would be used. And I get, they pay £1.60, and the council subsidises the rest.
Ian?
Yeah, I was just really to concur with what Lisa was saying before, that if this looks like it's going to go through, despite opposition, then I would rather it went through with the contribution to Ring and Go rather than lose that.
At the moment we have 3-4, and I would go to the granting permission. That would make it 4-2. Do you want to discuss the Ring and Go separately, or just? Okay, we'll leave it in then.
Chair, can I just to confirm as well, there are four conditions identified in paragraph 5.1 relating to landscaping, design and materials, access arrangements and high-speed fibre broadband. So you're happy with those conditions as well?
Peter, I think we're all happy with that. I think we're also happy with your recommendation that the legal agreement should be concluded within 6 months, if that's what you're asking for.
So, sorry, Chair, just to confirm, because I know the applicant's agent said that's the grant planning permission subject to the conditions and the developer contributions as per the without prejudice report.
Thank you all.